Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh?
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Lexus codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is February 7th, as you are hearing this, folks. Let me check the math there. Yeah, I think that's right. Well, sometime in February, as you're hearing this, it's one of the most exciting evenings for us. We get to hear from our fellow conspiracy realists. We're going to have some old friends from real life contact us with some inspirational words. We're going to, gosh, guys, we really hit a nerve with our recent exploration of Oklahoma. So we'll get to some of that. Before we do any of that, folks, we sold out. We're so excited about the future of the surveillance state. How do you like that setup, Matt? Where are we going?
Yes, as we surveil the world and it surveils us back, I guess.
Do you guys remember when our pal, our complaint department, Jonathan Strickland, please always email him, jonathanstrickland@iheartmedia.com. Do you guys remember when he had those Google glasses that he was rocking?
I do remember the Google Glass.
It was such a flop, kind of. They never even mass produced them. It was just always sort of like a beta test for, like, you know, people in the tech space and, you know, bloggers and podcasters and stuff. So he did get a hold of some of them. I never really heard much about it beyond that, because it turned out people didn't want to wear that on their face all the time.
Ah, Google Glass. I actually was kind of interested in that one, but not really. I know. Ooh. I was, because it felt like something you might wear. If it looked like regular glasses,
exactly,
then sure.
If it didn't look like just the top frame of glasses,
yeah,
with a weird, obvious camera.
Yeah, I might have been into it. Well, guys, Apple has an answer to all of these, you know, questions about how are we going to see the future? How are we going to interact with the future? Mm-hmm. We can't all be walking around with an Oculus Quest 7 on in 2030. Well, what will we be doing? What will we be doing in 2024? Well, Apple's answer was brought to us by Ye Anointed Bovine, someone who emailed us. Anointed Bovine says, I saw an ad for a new product, Vision Pro by Apple. It's a weird future we're propelling toward. Amazing uses in engineering, but a weird future for sure. They also start at $3,500. You can call me Anointed Bovine. And then Anointed Bovine sent us this video.
That's a fun little joke for Sacred Cow.
Right? Exactly.
Sorry, I'm stating the obvious, but that's cute.
So what we are going to do now, everyone, is watch this 1 minute, 8 second video, which is an ad from Apple for the Vision Pro. And we're going to react to what we're seeing.
And no one but Matt has seen this yet.
Oh, really?
I've seen an early, I mean, this was announced a while back, mm-hmm. and Apple's clearly so hot on it that they announced it without a release date. So there was a little early look kind of video that I have seen, but I don't think it's this one. It couldn't possibly be the same one.
Well, like
teaser versus trailer, right?
Correct.
Well, this is the juice, everybody. Alexis, we're going to look to you maybe for a reaction if you want, if you choose to give one. Here we go.
Okay.
What? So
got a guy putting on scuba goggles.
I was about to say, yeah. And researching scuba equipment, it looks like, or a boat of some sort.
But it looks to be Oculus Quest style interactions, but with swimming goggles on.
Well, it's like a much shorter, I guess, snout for the goggles, well, right?
And if anyone's messed with the Quest, that's fun. You know that it's opaque. It's a big plastic front on it. This one has a transparent front that I believe also can do some AR stuff where it'll project to outward viewers some facsimile of your eyes or expression, or maybe it's actually not clear. It's creating an AI facsimile of what's behind it.
We're seeing
Though it's normal. Like they're riding on a plane wearing giant goggles.
Yeah, no one's going to do that.
That was nice, the screen-to-screen move from the Vision Pro to a desktop monitor. That was probably the hardest flex there. But yeah, kids being diverted on an airplane, that's a classic.
Well, that's the thing about Apple, though. Whenever they release a product, at the very least, whatever you say about Apple or Apple fan, you know, stands, you know it's going to integrate with their desk, their other equipment really well. So, like, this is something you could not hook an Oculus Quest up and just have it natively become a second monitor for your device. You've got to use all kinds of different cables or whatever, even if it will work at all. And they're obviously going to have it interact with their ecosystem of games, Apple Arcade and stuff like that.
They have iMessages popping up in front of people's faces and people are opening their iMessages, the whole like
gestures,
touching a screen, putting it in space that you see
it's like
in like
Minority
Mission Impossible movies.
It's like Minority Report is what it is. Yeah.
But they also show a man in his kitchen kicking a soccer ball around with what appears to be his offspring, like as though he's just interacting with his family wearing these giant effing goggles.
Sure.
Like it's cool. It's normal. Everybody's fine with it. The kid's like, hey, dad, that's just what dad looks like now. Hey, dad.
Yeah. Offspring, not as in the band, but like his they appear to be his children.
The
yeah.
children he allegedly sired.
Yeah,
is the kid wearing the glasses, too? Or
no.
On the airport and on the airline, the kid is wearing the glasses. The idea is it's normalized for everybody who can pay a minimum price of $350.
No, $3,500.
Well, obviously, I'm not going to get them, but $3,500.
I'm not going to dox him here, but I do have a friend that has pre-ordered theirs, and it is supposed to be arriving soon, and it's a friend I spend a lot of time with, so he's going to bring it up when he comes to hang.
So you're
going to
be hanging out with somebody wearing these goggles pretty soon.
Well,
the funny thing is he and his family were visiting recently, and I kind of dusted off the old Oculus Quest that Matt turned me on to. So, Matt, don't act like a VR elitist here, like this is some world that terrifies you. Tell us what it is that gives you pause about this particular VR.
Really picture it. Really imagine hanging out with somebody wearing these goggles. Let's just imagine all of us hanging out together, and we've got your friend who's going to be wearing these things, right? What is that? How does that change our interaction with this person?
I would really rethink my relationship with that friend.
No, but I mean, really, like, maybe it's fine. Maybe it is the same thing as us just having our cell phones with us and being preoccupied with what's happening on that screen. Maybe it is that. But to me, it's not that.
It's meant to be worn in mixed company, though. That's just
what
Apple.
Doing in the ad.
Yeah, that's
I know,
what
but
it's
that's
meant
Apple.
To. That's literally what it's meant to be. Like, it's meant to be on you at all times, like a cell phone.
That's bullcrap. Yes. Nobody's going to go for it. I mean, if people go for that, I pity the fool, to quote Mr. T. I just think that's a real.
Nobody lost money investing in stupidity.
Well, okay. So there are many futurists who have posited, and we've had the discussion on the show, that we are already cyborgs because of our relationships with our phones, right?
Sure. And it's rewired our brains in some way, shape, or form, right?
Yes. We are inexorably tied to these things. We cannot be anywhere without them. We have anxieties when we don't know where our phone is. Mm-hmm. Like I think we collectively all feel that. Is it the same thing as wearing this kind of augmented reality, true cyborgian thing? Like, is it the same?
It's a necessary step. I mean, it's like, you know, when you see those old school textbook pictures of the evolution of primates, right? This kind of technology right now, it's sort of in the middle of that spectrum, because the next step, obviously, Elon Musk just announced the first human brain implant. You guys saw that? So that this stuff is, as you said, Matt, inexorable. It's inevitable. It's on the way. The next step is going to be, it'll be more popularized the less intrusive it appears, right? Yeah, so the closer you get to contacts or something that people already recognize, like spectacles.
Well, if you guys are familiar with the game Cyberpunk, which I know you are because we've talked about it, but there's actually a really great anime, accompanying anime made by the same Project Red or CD, something like that, that is quite good. And it's all about this hardware, people being able to afford the hardware implants. It creates this varying strata of sort of haves and have nots, because if you can't afford to get your muscles beefed up with tech, you're not going to win in a fight against the school bully who's from like a higher class, you know, strata of society. Matt, I can't keep picking on you here, but how is this, it depends on your behavior towards it. How is this any different than you or I trading back and forth to VR while we cast it to a TV and watching each other play Beat Saber or, you know, do the plank game? Like this really requires a difference in behavioral attitudes towards these things. And I guess Apple's pushing for that with their marketing, but it doesn't necessarily mean people are going to go for it. And I would argue the people that do go for it are going to look like a-holes.
Well, I think the difference is it's 10 times more expensive than an Oculus Quest 2 was when I got one, right?
True.
First, that's the first thing. The second thing is I almost immediately stopped using that piece of hardware, except to work out. There's a boxing thing I used on it, and that was it. I didn't see a use for it, really. I guess that's where I'm going there, first of all. And it is a solitary thing. So I had to choose to just hang out alone and play around with myself and my Oculus.
Keep it. We're keeping it in, Doc. Keep it.
But like, I had to choose to do that and like spend my time that way.
I would pose there's also a difference between like, I'm going to sit down and play this game versus I am living my life and interacting with my children and other people with this thing on my face.
Wonderful point.
And Matt, I'm only picking on you because you're the one that like brought the Quest over the first time. And that was the first time I'd ever really messed with one. And I hadn't picked mine up in a long, long time either, until this kid who's friends with my kid, who's actually the kid of the person that's getting the thing you're talking about, picked mine up and started playing with it. And I was like, oh, I forgot. There's things that are fun about this. But what we've been doing is casting it to the TV while one person does it, so the rest of them can see what they're seeing and also make fun of them for looking silly. It's just kind of a fun party game.
That's how I'm looking at it.
You and I talked about, I have a Quest as well. I was super turned off by the requirement to have a login to Facebook or Meta. And so, like you, Matt, also having a Quest, the best way to say it is it solved problems I did not have. Right. So like it's fun to explore. The proprioception is scientifically quite fascinating. However, in my
the way your mind accepts what's being presented to it.
Like, right. Yeah. However, in my cost benefit analysis, just personally, just one person, in my cost benefit analysis, the erosion of privacy outweighed the novelty of something that was clearly, this is like, the Quest was like early adopter technology, right? It's like an early version of a car. The next thing, or the next two or three things, are going to be where I think the Overton window shifts,
where the data becomes more valuable because you're taking it places and you're using it out in the world, right? Is that what you're getting at, Matt? This becomes a much more robust tracker and capturer of data.
Oh, my God.
Because you're taking it. The Quest isn't, really, because you're in your living room. So what useful information does it have? It knows how often I play Beat Saber or freaking, you know, Job Simulator. But, like, this one, if people use it the way they're suggesting, it'll know exactly where you're going. It'll capture everything around you in 360 degrees of, it could, you know, of data.
Yeah. I got a scenario for you. Imagine you show up at a pretty nice restaurant that you've planned a date with, somebody you found on one of these apps, right?
Sure.
You show up and you sit down and the person walks in wearing these goggles.
I'm gone, man. I'm gone. Or I'm like, are you joking? I'm sorry. And there's going to be rules restaurants are going to make, like wearing a hat. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. Please continue. This just baffles my mind.
Yeah, please, Ben, continue.
Weren't there issues with Google Glass? Like for a little bit, it was
they were banned
privacy
in
issues.
San Francisco. Yeah, specifically in tech bro country. But there's also, I mean, there's also the other side of that coin, which is that at some point that may become, like, things become normalized so insidiously quickly and rapidly. You know, if you travel a lot, you may have noticed that facial recognition was once an option for customs, and it is increasingly required. And something similar may happen. Like right now, in the surveillance state of the West, or the global West, in the U.S. in particular, it is considered anomalous and notable to not have a cell phone. Not quite a red flag, but it is a thing that stands out. And perhaps, if not Vision Pro, something after Vision Pro, some descendant thereof, will hit that cell phone moment. I don't know.
Maybe this is me being the old man shouting at clouds, but I don't see that happening. I don't see mass adoption of this. A, because it's too expensive, and B, it's just kind of idiotic.
What I'm talking about, the descendant, not this. Dude.
Okay, fair enough.
That's I see exactly that vision.
They're playing the long game. Okay.
Given, Ben, because I think at some point, this is the kind of technology, if, you know, put out in like version 5, where everybody is encouraged through incentives to have a 24/7 stream from their perspective, right, that they are doing. Oh, did you see Ben's stream last Friday? This crazy thing happened. Or people are tuning in. People are commenting. People are like checking in on your stream to see where you are and what you're doing. And you can check in on theirs. And like just a seamless communication. It is, to me, it's horrifying.
That's the Black Mirror episode, The Entire History of You. It is literally that episode.
This is a piece of technology that gets us through that first half step, right, of actually having wearable technology beyond something that we hold in our hands that would allow us to do that and to serve commercials. And we would get served commercials and anointed bovine. No, thank you.
I'm going to say one last thing. I'm going to shut up. I think Apple has also very rarely placed a bet that didn't win. You know what I mean? When they go all in on a technology, it usually takes the frick off. I can't think of anything that they've put out and put all of their marketing efforts behind that has failed. Maybe you can. Maybe like a certain generation of iPod or something. But in general, they are disruptors in this space.
That sort of reminded me of when they like forcefully put a U2 album on everybody's phone.
That failed.
It did fail. But specifically, it makes me think about like if people are wearing this Apple Vision thing, like I'm thinking about what Matt said about ads and also the idea of like what can sort of forcefully be put in front of your eyes in that regard. That was sort of the thought that hit me right there.
Think about emergency alerts on cell phones and then magnify that. Right.
But what would you do for an extra $20, maybe $100, maybe $1,000 a month? Like if you had this technology, I bet there are people out there that would use you as a node for quite a bit of money.
100%.
What do you mean a node?
A node of data of like what's happening in this area. What is, think about the tracking on this thing and what Ben said, the tracking on that thing, but the visual data that you would constantly be getting, the audio data you'd be getting.
Real-time processing of troublesome things like protests, for instance.
Oh my God.
Especially considering also, you know, economy of scale. Like the easier it is to say yes to stuff like this, and not to sound like a Luddite, but the easier it is to say yes to stuff like this, the more people have it, creating a feedback loop, which means it is cheaper to produce an individual iteration of the project and people want to keep up with the Joneses. So the next deal you get is, hey, this, just like what happens with cell phones, great case study. Hey, this is $3,500 US now. However, if you go with a provider or agree to a certain regimen of ads, then it's only, you know, 1,000 or 1,500.
Did you guys see the BlackBerry movie? That moment, that aha moment when the BlackBerry people realized that's what Apple was doing and that's literally what tanked BlackBerry. That was like the big kind of turning point of that story. Fascinating.
Dude, think about when you Target spends a great deal of time and money trying to figure out what you as an individual want, what you're interested in, what you're willing to buy, what you're not buying, even though you're showing interest on their website or their app.
Mm-hmm.
Think about when you go into Kroger and they're trying to do the same things. What does this individual want that is also in this social strata, in this economic strata? Mm-hmm. What if they are willing to give you those deals too? Just wear your, what is this thing called? Apple Vision Pro or whatever. Wear that when you shop in Target next time. And it's going to measure your reaction to certain shirts that you're looking at in a line or certain food products. Mm-hmm.
Think about also how when the Kroger Plus or whatever loyalty card came out, it gave you a discount. As the prices purposely, gradually, frogs boiling, rose, such that now if you go there without a card, if you go to a lot of places without a card, you are paying extra because you have refused to submit your information to the system. That is 10-10 what is happening or what will happen.
Really quickly before you go, I just want you guys to peep this link I put in the chat.
Oh, it's the blue blocker. What is that?
It's from Back to the Future 2. It's like an accessory that exists in Back to the Future 2. It looks exactly like what we're talking about. And it's by JVC, you'll see on the side, which is like a big company in the 80s, you know? They're made of camcorders and stuff. I mean, this is the future we were promised by Back to the Future 2, finally coming to fruition.
All right, final word, Alexis. Are you getting one?
I was about to curse. So I'll say F no. And also to answer your earlier question, like if somebody showed up to that, like on a date or I was hanging out with somebody and they put them on, I would roast the absolute beep out of them.
You heard it here first, folks. Heard it here first. There is a certain standard to romance on stuff they don't want you to know.
Ah, beautiful. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back with more messages from you.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion.
That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we've returned after that illuminating conversation about the future that is the present. That is a little bit terrifying and really dorky. But let's refresh. Let's do a little reset and refresh, recycle, reduce, reuse, and hear a message from a listener of the show and someone I'd consider to have become a pal of mine. We're going to go by their nickname, Moons of Athos. And I'm going to read some segments of this lovely email that Moons wrote us. My name is Moons of Athos. He gives the real name, but I'm not sure. He gave us permission to use the nickname, so I'm not going to give the real name. I'm a musician and multimedia specialist from the southeast of Ireland, currently based in Berlin, Germany. Hopefully Noel remembers me from his visit to Berlin just about 2 years ago now. Of course I remember you, Moons. We had lovely pints together, and it was great. We actually hung out twice. Was great meeting you that time. Man, I had a blast hanging out with you, Frank, and your other mates in the metal bars here. It's true. We went to some awesome metal bars, of which there are copious amounts in Berlin. Just wanted to touch base with you guys since I've been listening for about 6.5 years now. Also, on the latest listener mail episode, Missing in Missouri, Corruption in Illinois, Australian Insight, you guys put out a call for art inspired even loosely by your podcasts. So here goes. I play guitar and write music in a post-rock, post-metal band called Sky Trumpets. We're going to get to where that name came from, or the inspiration. Ben and Noel, I know you both follow us on Instagram. Many thanks for that. But since so many of us conspiracy realists have so much in common, I thought it might be worth sharing this with the wider community, especially since I'm working on new material to release later this year. So many of us, being the fun type of weirdos who worship at the altar of Fox Mulder and Dana Scully, find endless pleasures in rewatching Agent Cooper visit Twin Peaks each spooky season. And seemingly a lot of us are also arts practitioners and gear nerds in our respective fields, recalling Noel and I's conversation about studio equipment, vintage synths, and guitar gear. Maybe a weird droney ambient metal band from the south coast of Ireland can be another common interest for more of the community. The story goes that I began writing music for what would become Sky Trumpets about the same time I found your podcast in October 2017 when I lived in Hamburg, Germany. I remember the feeling of delight at working a job which didn't require too much brain power, my first office job as an intern, and loving sinking into your podcast each day. I think I began with episodes on the Flatwoods Monster, Elisa Lamb, and the interview with the guy who ran the Bigfoot Museum, David Bacara, right? Bacara? Yeah, I love that guy. It was great to hear a bunch of guys talking about this stuff and not taking it too seriously, while also not talking down on the fun cryptid stories, and similarly not taking sick pleasure in talking about true crime and conspiracy cases like some other podcasts seem to do. This, alongside the binge watching of The Walking Dead from the beginning at the time, allowed me to come up with the first Sky Trumpet song, Crime Project. The idea of it was that it would be the soundtrack playing in my synesthetic brain while listening to your podcast, or if I were in a real-life TWD situation. I moved back to Ireland just before Christmas 2017 to complete my degree. 6 months later, some of my musician mates had heard this demo of Crime Project and asked me to be a part of a live band for this music, if I was planning on starting one. Well, now I was. Now we need a name, right? I wanted something epic, almost biblical. Some of my favorite post-rock bands have names that really suit the biblical, cathartic, spiritual sound of their music. Godspeed You Black Emperor. Personal favorite. Ben, I know you're a fan as well. God is an Astronaut. Explosions in the Sky. Cloud Kicker. If These Trees Could Talk. So I like the idea of sky in there somewhere. I remember hearing the term Sky Trumpets mentioned by Ben on one of the episodes talking about the phenomena of weird noises seemingly without a source occurring around the world. I think it was when you were discussing the Windsor Hum, maybe. Anyway, when I remembered the term, it felt like the nice snap of two Lego bricks in my head. That had to be our band name. I mentioned it to the guys, and they liked it. It's the last bit here I'm going to read. Ben, my fellow synesthete, It's worth noting that Sky Trumpets is not just a band, but a multimedia project. One of my goals with this project was to create abstract films for each song based off of my own music, matching or mismatching colors intentionally in my head, grouping songs together for certain releases based on their colors, writing set lists based on songs' colors, etc. And Sky Trumpets music has been the most explicit example of this since we are instrumental. I have built a few music visualizers to try to visualize my synesthesia for live performances, admittedly to varying degrees of success, but hoping to have it usable later this year in a more coherent format than I've done before. I just think this is super cool. He talks a little bit about number stations. He goes on to talk about some other projects that he's involved in. But before I toss it to the group, just highly recommend you check out Sky Trumpets. They're on Instagram, and there's the link in bio situation that links you out to a lot of these other projects. So, thanks to Moons of Athos for this lovely trip down memory lane, for some of these topics, and just for doing exactly what Ben sent the call out to have people share with us, making art, you know, out of some of the stuff that we talk about. It's a real honor.
I want to shout out something Moon said at the end here that we did not read yet. Moon says, might I make a suggestion while I'm here for this year's spooky season? Maybe you could bring back the segment of reading out listeners' ghost stories. I think we should do more of that this year. Anybody who's listening, and we could do those year round. It doesn't have to be spooky season.
It's always Halloween in America.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, you know, on stuff they don't want you to know. We love it. He said that another band that he's in that's kind of a queer punk band is how he described it. Skin on Flesh, which you can find at Skin on Flesh Band, recently had a song featured in the latest Cyberpunk DLC. We were talking about Cyberpunk a little while ago, so that's pretty cool for an indie type band to have their song featured in a game like that. That's good money and good exposure. So well done, y'all.
I listened to a bit of Thinking Hours from Sky Trumpets, and I really did enjoy what I was hearing. And awesome work.
Mm-hmm. You came to the right place, Moon. Thanks.
Yeah,
for coming.
I guess I should have maybe written him back to ask if we could play a sample on the show. So maybe we'll leave a space here just for a little sample in the event that I hear back from him with permission before this airs.
I'm going to recommend around 2 minutes in Thinking Hours when the... Mm-hmm. The drums really kick in. Oh, dang it.
Make this a shorty, Ben. I mean, any thoughts about specifically the visual aspects of this, trying to recreate the experience of synesthesia? I think that's so cool.
Yeah, agreed. As we said, you can find the website experiment64.com where you can learn more about this stuff. And these are the kind of letters we love. Anything that we in this show do that somehow inspires our fellow listeners makes it worth it, I would argue. You know what I mean? And we've got, again, as you pointed out, Noel, we do always ask for permission before we air or share your stuff, because it is your stuff. But keep them coming. This is just awesome. It really makes our day, I think, collectively, or makes our evening.
Well, let's take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then come back with another message from you.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and the last star on the business. I understand now. It is a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned with a bit of a roundup. We are going to share a couple of different emails from some of our fellow conspiracy realists, all commenting about the same thing. Quite recently, folks, as you may recall, we discussed an intensely troubling story about human trafficking and the gray market cannabis trade in Oklahoma. It appears, gang, that we have hit a bit of a nerve in a good way, because we had a ton of people writing to us and many calling us likely as well, who were responding and saying largely the same thing, agreeing with our take on the recent news and telling us it goes much, much deeper. So what I'm thinking we could do is just a brief recap of the story we first found, and then some helpful responses from our friends in Oklahoma. So the quick recap is this. Two men were recently convicted of a drug trafficking conspiracy. Chinese nationals, they were popped for illegally trafficking cannabis from an Oklahoma grow operation. Oklahoma does have medical marijuana laws. So there are ways to legally grow, distribute, sell weed. But what we found was that there were a lot of strings leading away from this. It had been politicized by some authorities as a way of like arguing for a border wall. It had been turned into, you know, a little bit of somewhat racist xenophobia. But Noel, Matt, I was shocked by how many people wrote to us about this. Did you see some of these emails? We got quite a few.
Yeah, I did. And it was nice to get a little bit of meat on the bones around what's going on the ground, you know, in Oklahoma and the relationship with cannabis in terms of the questions we asked, like, wait, is it legal? Why isn't it legal? Like, just like there seems to be some wrenches in the works in terms of making that happen. And it's sort of an odd situation from some of the perspectives that I caught a glimpse of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed fully. And we've not been to Oklahoma. Or wait, let me check this. Codename Doc, have you been to Oklahoma?
I have. I passed through there when I toured with that metal band that I told you about.
Oh, that's right.
But I didn't stay.
You didn't stay?
I also dated a guy from Oklahoma.
Okay. Do you want to shout him out on the air?
I don't.
All right. Well, Okay, so at least we have one person who's had some boots on the ground here. Our first letter says, "Hi, my name is Whitney. I own a medical marijuana dispensary in Durant, Oklahoma, and I am thrilled you guys covered the human trafficking issue. It's the worst kept secret in the state, especially in our industry. We've been trying to bring attention to the horrors that are happening all around us. We've been to farms that were housing workers from Asia, and we immediately knew something was wrong. They're in the middle of nowhere. No cell service, not much law enforcement. They're living in warehouses with bunk beds. These groups have shady business practices. They don't follow the regulatory guidance. So this dispensary's never bought any of their products. By the way, this is Magnolia City Apothecary. I love the word apothecary.
Me too.
We should use that more often, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually a really cool tape label called Oris Apothecary.
Love it. And Whitney continues and says that for the past couple of years, this has been kind of like the Wild West. Lots of open spaces, not much oversight. The Russian mafia may have also caught on to this trafficking. We're starting to see their farms pop up. They guard their farms with armed security and machine guns. Stuff is wild. Sorry, Whitney, editing for a family show. And Whitney says, hoping law enforcement continues to shut down these outfits that are exploiting these people. Then we got another recommendation directing us to an Instagram account called healthy.buffalo that talks about, that has a story with someone who had to deal with the crazy issues concerning the Oklahoma marijuana industry. And I looked into this. It seems that the state is, as this conspiracy realist says, the state has been trying to shut down those illegal grow farms. They're owned by out-of-state or out-of-country owners. The paperwork filed with the state of Oklahoma has ghost owners. Sadly, I read some of these ghost owners were lawyers. Imagine that. I have read and watched the shutdown of many illegal farms, and I've read about executions of foreign workers at these illegal grow farms. This is nuts. This person also recommends we go to oklahoma.gov/OMMA for more information. And these are just like a couple of the things. I didn't know it went this deep, but we talked about this a little bit, right? We talked about how there appeared to be more at work than just two sketchy dudes.
100%. And I mean, it's another one of these examples where prohibition of any kind often yields a smokescreen with which to conduct all kinds of shady business under, behind, whatever you do with a smokescreen.
Around, just in the air. It's weird.
You know what I mean, though?
Yes.
Like, if there weren't an aspect of this that were kind of off book, then they wouldn't have been able to disguise a lot of these other, like, mega shady activities.
Mm-hmm. Agreed, 100%. And there are more letters that we received. One is from the Circumspect Coyote, who says, "Good day, gentlemen. As I listened to your strange news segment on human trafficking in Oklahoma, I could only think, yep, that's about par for the course. In 2002, says our friendly coyote, the John Pickle Company in Tulsa had brought in a number of Indian nationals and sequestered them on the property and made them into de facto slaves. These individuals were here legally on a work visa, but those visas and any personal identification was taken from them and held hostage to ensure their cooperation. They were drawn in under the banner of higher pay in select fields. Then they were subjected to $2 an hour wages, poor living and work conditions, and no freedom." And this coyote works in records, or did work in records, at the Tulsa Police Department for years, and says human trafficking comes up constantly. And maybe, again, you know, maybe we were just a bit unfamiliar or naive, but I think most Americans outside of Oklahoma do not immediately think of human trafficking when they think of that state. We all thought of the musical.
Well, yeah, and I think that's not an accident, right? I mean, I hate the term because it seems dismissive, but oftentimes people will describe Oklahoma as a flyover state. Right. You know, a lot of those states sort of in the middle are often off the radar of mainstream reporting, which is what allows things like this to maybe go on for longer unnoticed.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Noel. It's easy to ignore it, you know, and it reminds me a little bit of the situation that can happen with immigrant workers in Middle Eastern countries.
Totally.
You travel and then the person employing you possesses your documents and may indeed take possession of your passport. It's a very, very dangerous thing. And also Coyote points out that these people would be controlled by having threats made against their family members. And a lot of them came from U.S. cities, from Los Angeles or New York. And then Coyote shares with us a story from the Oklahoman from 2008. So it gives us a sense of how long this kind of stuff has been happening. In this case, there were 52 captive workers from India who were basically laboring in forced servitude. And it took one... The way the Oklahoman puts it is it took one, quote unquote, crazy Christian to intervene. The implication being that law enforcement wasn't doing anything.
I do have to point out one thing that maybe will lighten the mood just a little bit. And again, I apologize if this is stating the obvious, but I love that this coyote is circumspect rather than wily.
Yes. Yeah.
Just throwing that out there in case it flew by anybody. Some clever Nicky names coming through on today's episode.
And then Crystal writes to us saying much the same thing and points out specifically the history of medical marijuana in the state. Crystal says, quote, since medical marijuana was legalized in Oklahoma in 2018, there have been big repercussions. The law was rushed through with little real oversight of grow licensing or regulation in the issuance of medical licenses. And pause there, because that's something we've seen with pretty much every medical marijuana state, right? Like, I have glaucoma, maybe, or a vague sense of unease.
It's a loophole. Yes, 1,000,000%. I mean, you know, that's why it's comical that there's something, whether it philosophically or whatever, that's preventing these states from taking that leap to pure recreation, because it's obviously going to mean more money because it just opens the floodgates. But yeah, I mean, when California went legal for, you know, medical, all you'd hear was stories about people saying generalized anxiety disorder, right. Mm-hmm. Which is honestly something that I don't think smoking weed would help very much. It tends to make people more anxious, but I guess it depends on the strain. But yeah, it's weird. Like, why are people getting log jammed between medical and recreational? Mm-hmm. Like, Georgia is so puritanical in the way that we handle that stuff that I think we've only got medical in a very specific situation that involves not even the smokable flower, just the like
tincture
pills, Marinol, yeah. I think is what it's called. And it's apparently kind of bullcrap. You know, it doesn't really right. do the job.
It only went over the finish line in the state's legislative body because some politician promised it would not be fun. they literally said, don't worry, no one's getting high, no one has a new appreciation of bass lines or ambient music, right? This is just medicine. And we see that kind of puritanical is a perfect word. We see this occur in a lot of other states. You know, I think for a long time in Michigan, you could just say that you were a fan of Michigan State and they would sign you up for some weed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We're just going to make that true. It's too late, Doc. You can't stop us.
No.
No comment.
I don't know if I have a heck of a lot to add here. I would obviously throw to Matt, but he's dealing with some home renovation stuff. He had to jump away for a minute, mm-hmm. lest you worry that he's being so quiet. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, Ben, anything else to any other noteworthy responses yes. to that topic? Okay, got it.
Yeah, let's end on just one or two more things that are important for us non-Oklahomans to know. Continuing with Crystal, by law, a grow operation in Oklahoma is required to be owned in majority by a resident of the state. A year or two ago, it was discovered that foreign owners were using Oklahoma law firms as straw man owners, and hundreds of grows were shut down. The state stopped issuing new licenses. It's still reworking the system. Many of these illicit operations work with drug cartels, as well as using quote-unquote not-so-legal employment methods. All of this does unfortunately make a great cover for moving things and people for nefarious purposes. Even before the grow problem, Oklahoma has been a hub for human trafficking add major cartel and gang activity. There are several interstates crossing in Oklahoma City, so it's very easy to lose track of suspicious vehicles and to get things. Yeah.
Good point.
Right?
Crossroads. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to obscure all these movements. No, and I'm so glad that this hit a nerve because this was news to all of us. And the more we hear back from you, conspiracy realists out there, the pieces really start to come into full focus. And like, of course this makes sense. And it's just, gosh, we wouldn't be able to do that without you. You know?
Yeah, I'm still writing back to everyone, but I want to thank all our fellow conspiracy realists for weighing in with this firsthand experience. The major highways that that a lot of our Oklahoman friends are talking about are I-35, I-40, and I-44. There is a huge problem with potential trafficking. There is a lot of political controversy here. I think, just to keep this one short, I think the best way for us to end, before we thank everybody for tuning in, is to let you know, hey, Matt, welcome back, is to let you know that if you suspect a case of human trafficking here in the United States, it is very important for you to speak up, because often this stuff only functions because people ignore fairly obvious signs. So if you suspect a case of human trafficking, please do contact 1-888-373-7888. That's 1-888-373-7888. That's the National Human Trafficking Hotline. And folks, this stuff does matter. Human trafficking is a real conspiracy.
Sad that I missed this. I looked through the messages that we got that you compiled there, Ben, and it's just really intense. And sorry, I wasn't here for that discussion. I did just learn that you can get a brand new garage door for significantly less than an Apple Vision Pro.
Okay.
Good to know. Pretty soon you'll have to have a Vision Pro to buy a garage door, right? It's coming, or some version of it. I also had a great conversation with a friend of the show who was saying the United States needs a new deal to improve things in this country, but people are so sensitive to names. We're trying to figure out what you would call a new deal to get voters on board. And we came up with an idea you guys are going to love. Wait for it. America Plus.
Oh. And hey, I got a pitch for you guys. How about this? Okay, ready? You ready? Virtual garage door. Boom. Just chew on that.
Whoa.
In the metaverse. Whatever you want it to mean.
Mm-hmm. Fellow conspiracy realists, thank you as always so much for tuning in. You are the best part of the show. We would love for you to join up with us. We can't wait to hear your thoughts. We try to be easy to find online, even if you don't have an Apple Vision Pro.
That's true. Not necessary. Our barrier of entry is quite low. You have actually three ways you can get in touch with us. First is on the internet, where you can reach us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook, where we have a Facebook group. Here's Where It Gets Crazy is what that's called. We also exist under that handle on YouTube and also on X, FKA Twitter. If you'd rather find us on Instagram and TikTok, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Hey, you want to call us? Use our voicemail system. It's 1-833-STDWYTK. Put the number in your phone as a contact and you might get a call back accidentally or very, very purposefully. Be like Ducky, who called us about small town corruption in Johnson City, Tennessee. Something we may have to talk about in the future. Looking at you, Ben, especially because I think you might even know where that place is, just because of where you have existed previously, sir. When you do call in, give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your message on the air. If you don't want to use that system, why not use our email system? We are
the people who read every email we get. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh?
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.